Welcome back to the Scare Value Podcast. I don't have an opening for this one because it is very difficult to find an audio clip that you want to use from two found footage movies where people run around houses screaming.
I know which one you should push. I see your buttons over there, and I know which one you want to push. I don't know which that one. Yeah, that one.
Shh. Fuck you, you old crow.
I did want to push it.
I am so angry right now.
Yeah, you told me to push that one.
You're pushing my buttons. That's what you're pushing, buddy.
You're driving me crazy in here.
You're driving me bananas.
So the reason this episode has to exist is that...
I don't know that anything that we do has to exist. I feel that that is putting a lot of importance on this.
Many, many moon ago, I told Pete that I watched a movie called Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor.
That is a lot of titles in my defense.
And he said, that does sound pretty good.
No, you said...
It was legitimately scary.
You said there was something in there that was legitimately scary, and all the years of you watching these movies, you are desensitized, and there's nothing left that could possibly frighten you, and you said something creeped you out.
Yep. And you said, I think I'm going to watch that. I said, yeah, you definitely
And then
should.
I did.
Well, no. No, that would be... That's not correct.
Did I watch Hell House, LLC?
We discovered in conversation off mic... After a pretty long conversation, to be honest with you.
We had a couple of conversations about Hell House LLC or Hell House. Well, we had conversations about Hell House LLC and Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor. But, you know, we had those talking to each other about separate movies. And at no point did either of us realize we were talking about different movies until many, many moons later after that.
In my defense... You were the one agreeing with things I'd bring up. Like, remember when that phone rang downstairs, but it was coming from the room, and then they went to the room, and there's only a clown there, and you're like, yeah, that never happened in Hell House LLC.
I feel like there was a lot of things where the clown would appear when there was something else.
That's and their go-to trick.
In my defense, every time I said something, you just nodded and said, yup.
Yeah, but I do that all the time.
Right, I know. So what am I supposed to do? I just assume that I'm correct. That's how most people treat me, and that's why I go through life assuming that I'm correct.
So we went back and watched the other movie that the other one had seen, since he watched the original and I watched Origins.
Yeah, so I watched Origins, The Carmichael Manor.
And I watched the original, LLC, from 2018. Nope, 16. The original came out in 2016. The new one came out in 2023. There are two sequels that we will never watch.
Parts 2 and 3?
Yeah.
So you've never seen them?
No, and I never
Nor have I. And I have also, I solemnly swear that I will never watch them.
Here's the thing. I enjoyed 1, and I enjoyed the Origins. I enjoyed both of them, but I'm never going to watch 2 and 3, because I hear that they're not as good, and why would I watch subpar versions of something that I was lucky to enjoy twice?
I do not like found footage movies.
You say that all the time.
And I'm 100% firm on this. I enjoyed Dead Scream. Mm-hmm. Don't care for The Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm. But you recognize its importance.
Yeah, I reckon. But, you know, I don't care for it because it's just not very good. And I liked Origins was all right, too. I feel like it was more... I think the first Hell House was at least interesting for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what it was that I enjoyed more about it. The second one seemed more studio, or the second one.
The fourth
one. No, it's the second one. I do love the title, by the way. You know I like a colon. You know I like more words than that. Is there a couple of colons in that one?
I think there's just one, but they could have fit a second one if they wanted to.
I feel like a comma could have gone somewhere, too. That is a title.
Yeah, so you like the first one better?
I think that the part that creeped you out... Was the
it wasn't a part that creeped me out. It was the culmination. It was like the continuing build of every night getting worse, and then when the brother is having a conversation to the camera, and it's just like it's getting more and more suspenseful, and I was just like, they're not going to get out of this house in the next 2 days.
Okay,
and I was like, what's going to happen the next day? Because every time like a new day or a new night, something worse happens.
Yeah, that was the first one too, right?
No.
Isn't that all fucking... I remember vaguely those Paranormal Activity movies where there's a camera in a bedroom and every night something worse happens.
But I don't think that does happen in the first one. I think that the first one is louder.
Yeah, that's what you said going in. You're like, I'm worried it's loud.
It is loud.
The oldest old person thing you can say. Well, I don't know what I can say. I complained about Godzilla saying it was too dark.
It's too dark. I already have to deal with the shaky camera, which is much more in 1 than it is in 4.
100%.
And now you're going to be yelling the whole time. And I mean, the performances are pretty good in the first one, honestly, for what they have to do. react to nothing.
100%. I thought the people were very good in the first, which is not what I normally expect from found footage movies. The acting tends to suffer.
But I thought they were better in four. That's the thing. I think so.
Well, they seem more polished. Those seem like real actors or real, you know.
Which makes sense because they're not just regular people putting on a haunted house. These are people that are investigators that do this on camera.
So the premise is there's a hotel that was abandoned, and these people, in the first one, they come to do a haunted house type thing for Halloween.
Yeah.
And they do it illegally and they go into this place and it turns out the house has the hotel has a history of some sort, but it's never really explained in the first one. There seems to be demon worship.
I think that's what goes on in 2 and 3. They explain all that and I'm just not interested in it.
And then in the fourth one, it's a prequel. Origin.
Is it? Because I don't think that it's actually set before the other ones. When I watched it again, I was like, oh, I think it's just telling... It's just trying to connect the story here, so it does have some ties to the original and to 2 and 3, but I don't know what they are, really.
Well, here's what I can understand, having not seen part 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So in the first one, it ends, everyone dies. Like, the bad in the house gets them. Part 4...
It's a new location for the first time.
The Carmichael Manor, they're just doing... That house is supposed to be... There was a murder there, and there's a true crime podcaster there, too.
It's like a side story set in the universe, loosely connected to...
But
the other three movies.
I'm following the Abaddon Hotel.
Yeah.
And the Abaddon, they mentioned going, when in the fourth movie, they go to that the antique store that has stuff that was saved from the Abaddon Hotel fire.
Yeah.
So I think it burns down in part 2 or 3.
Well, if I can remember here correctly, the third one is called Lake of Fire.
Well, I think it burns down in part 2 then. Well, because the now they got to find out.
Second one's called The Abaddon Hotel.
Mm-hmm. And then it burns down at the end, and they figure out why. It's because there's a lake of fire underneath it. Now, I don't know, and I didn't look it up, but Abaddon is something either like a demon who guards hell or like a hell itself. I can't remember what Abaddon is because it's been a while since I've heard it other than the Hotel Abaddon. But that they mentioned it in the movie that they went, the guy, I'm very confused at what the bad is in these movies. It seems to be... A clown?
I'm pretty sure the bad in the first one is the creepy cameraman, Paul, who is a sex pervert.
Boy, howdy was he. What year did these come out?
2016 for the first one.
Okay. Boy, was he creepy. That's constantly.
That was my first note, is cameraman is a pervert.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but they all think it's hilarious. They're all like, oh, maybe we can get her to take her top off for you. And I'm like, this is...
It feels like an early 2000s movie or late 90s as opposed to a 2016. But, no. So the clown... No, so I like the first one. Mm-hmm. Wait, what was the part that was just I thought it was the girl in the mask in Origins.
You keep bringing up the girl in the mask. I have told you before that every night gets progressively more intense.
It's the girl in the mask. You're scared of girls in masks.
My favorite part of the fourth one... is when the friend is doing the Zoom interview and her pictures, because she's going to try to sell the property, and the pictures keep changing, and it's not stuff she's taking, it's getting closer and closer to her.
That's pretty cool.
That's great stuff.
Yeah, that is. Now, all of them suffer, though. It's who's releasing the documentary? That is what it comes out. It starts off as like...
Well, no, the fourth one explicitly tells you who's doing it.
But it then the ending isn't put together. It's put together as a scare ending, right? You've got the kid talking to the camera, the killer guy.
I don't know if you know how found footage works, but someone finds the footage, and the fourth one opens with the people telling you that they're going to show you the footage of what happened to their colleague.
Okay, but see, I got to, because the ending just seemed like the ending of the first one very much is no longer found footage. Because who found, like, the people who are doing the documentary go into the house, and then you see them die in the house, in the hotel. So where did that footage come from, or how did it get released, or how come no one's talking about this crew that died while researching the first one?
Well, I think that in the first one, isn't it the same thing? Didn't they have other people talking about it first, and then it goes into the investigation, then they get the thing brought to them, so it's like 3 layers deep?
No.
And you're talking about the second layer of the investigation, but I'm pretty sure it opens with people talking about it first.
Was those second people, I thought.
I think there was a different...
Look, I've seen that movie kind of twice now,
and
I don't remember any of that, so I don't know that that's really true. Either way, I don't like it, and it seems fake, and it takes me out of the story, such that it is. Although, those clowns were creepy.
The clowns are their best trick. But the first one tries to put the hat on the hat.
What do you mean?
it's, oh, there's evil in the hotel. Don't go to the hotel. But the evil's not in the hotel. The girl that they're talking to is dead the whole time, beckoning them back to the hotel.
Yes.
That ghost reveal, that's a Lovecraft reveal of you fool.
Oh, yeah, you fool. Randolph is dead.
Randolph is dead, who you've been talking to this whole time. And it's effective enough in a way, but I'm also like, they're allowed to leave the property?
Yeah.
It bothered me a bit.
No, that's true. Although in the origin, oh, they were still on the Carmichael Manor, but it's the same little black-robed things from the first one. I guess they can go wherever they want. There's nothing holding them.
I guess so. Well, yeah, there is a cult that is trying to open a portal to hell.
Is that what it is? Yeah. It seems like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're trying to think.
I think what I liked about the fourth one is it's a simpler story. There's a family murder here, and the place is haunted. Okay, great. And the clowns are also here.
Aside from the sexual predator in the first one, I think I liked them better than... Yeah. See, Margot annoyed the piss out of me for probably the first half of the movie, and then I got her. Like, I guess because she's one of these people, like, it's her character
trait. You need to have somebody that's keeping you there.
Yes. And I don't know why, but something
about it. And I really liked her brother. Because her brother was, like on her friend's side, like, her girlfriend's side, like, I'm with you then. And then she kind of speaks up against Margot, and he's like, I agree with her. And I was like, hey, he really followed through with that. Does it to get him out of there?
No. Well, he gets out of there, doesn't he? Kind of. I don't know what happens to you when you die in this clown house.
Apparently, you go to the police and get them to come check out the hotel.
And then you get a room? Well, no, the Abaddon Hotel burned down.
These are supposed to take place somewhere near New York City, right? Like, yeah, in the right rural part.
I think like an hour outside of New York or something. They said, oh, people will drive 40 minutes so to like get here.
Cooperstown.
Sure. The Baseball Hall of Fame and then the Abaddon Hotel.
That, I've been to Cooperstown. It does kind of look around where...
I haven't been.
This was shot in Pennsylvania, though.
Okay. Well...
The first one, anyway.
I think I saw that it's an actual haunted house somewhere that they used for their set.
I thought for years, because I never watched this movie when it came out, I thought for years it was a different movie. There's a movie...
I'm not surprised. That happened to me already, too.
About making like haunted houses. Like a documentary kind of thing. And this feels like that's what this is, but it was a different movie.
You're right. Okay. Why do I have that?
Yeah. I don't remember what the name of that movie was, but I wasn't interested in seeing it. And I always thought that was this. And then I realized that wasn't this. That's a different thing that I also haven't watched. And I'm not planning on watching.
Okay.
It's like Houses of October or something like that.
No. Okay. There's a good book called House of Leaves. That one's weird and fun. I'm just throwing it out there.
There's a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. But a weird one and a fun one?
Who wrote it?
I don't know. Some guy. Maybe some girl. I don't know. Pretty sure it was a guy. It was a book. It was in book format.
And that's why it had to be a guy?
No, but I do have two copies of it.
What was the secret in one that they talk about in Israel Field? Is it just that they're out of money?
That was my
thing. That's because they don't ever just fucking tell you. To the point where I'm watching it, like, is there going to be like a twist reveal here? And it never comes. And then at the end, I'm like, I guess they're just broke.
See, that worked for me, though, because that is the kind of stuff that is more, you'd find in these, you know, weird little found footage documentaries, more authentic, real life moments.
I
didn't have
a problem with it. It's just like, I was like annoyed while watching it. Like, are they going to get, like, because I kept waiting for like another shoe to drop.
Right. So 100%. I was waiting for what the secret, like, oh, thanks for telling me. Like, oh, shit, this is something big.
But then he's like, no, I got to stay. And it's like, what is happening? Is he like dying of something? Is it like, is there, I could never put it together. And then I was like, it must just be a financial thing. Like, they're going to go out of business if he doesn't stay. And
it's
like,
yeah, that's where I landed on it too.
But you could at least have one line thrown in later so I could stop expecting something to happen.
I wonder if there was something that just didn't make the final cut, you know, not time.
Because it was so weird, jarring when they have that conversation after the guy's trying to leave. And then he's like, I got to tell you something. And that's not on camera. And then he's like, well, what am I going to do? I got to stay now. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. No, you're right, because it definitely sets up this idea. But I wonder if that's just to keep you interested. Maybe. A clever little trick, like, oh, let's find out.
Or do you think that they got to a point in writing the script where it made no sense for this character to stay, and they had to find a way to get him to stay, and they're like, we don't have a strong enough reason, let's just leave it out.
But it worked. It's one of those happy accidents. It's like Deadpool getting his budget cut and can't bring the guns to the final fight.
Because if they had a scene where the guy was like, listen, you got to hear this, like, we're going out of business if we don't get this done, and then he's like, okay, I'll stay. That's not really a strong enough reason to stay when you've been seeing the shit you've been seeing. No.
Which is why they left it off camera to let you think. And then, luckily, everyone dies before you can really question, what about that?
I give the first one credit for finding, for trying to be scary in very simple ways, where they really make it really the thing is just the clown can't turn its head.
Yeah, that was pretty. Those clowns were creepy as
clowns
fuck.
Are creepy.
And apparently, as whatever gets, maybe Abaddon is a thing, like a demon, because they say your eye, like the symptoms. I think it was in the fourth movie where they
it's a hotel.
No, it's a Pennywise or a Skarsgård.
Creepy Skarsgård.
Or a curry. I know what it is. You distracted me well. Thank you. What was I saying?
Something about Nicolas Cage, probably. I never listened. Oh.
So I lost my Nicolas Cage notebook again. I'm sure you were.
Since the one we just recorded?
Well, no, before that. Yeah. But I did lose it since then again, too. But I found it again. And it was scary for a minute because this Nicolas Cage notebook, all the pages are falling out. That's how much Cage info I have to share with the world. But I found it again. I know you were worried. In fact, that could be my Nicolas news. My Nick Cage news update is that I lost the notebook, but I found it again.
Whew. That's been your update two other times so far.
Well, I know. It's an important update. Do you want to?
Hey,
no.
Go ahead.
No, you want it? There's a Nick Cage drinking game.
Hmm.
I can tell that you're excited. I can tell you want all the details. I don't know if I have enough time to go into all the details, so I'm just going to give you a couple of the highlights here. So, someday we can play this. All right.
When have we ever drank together?
I think we watched
Except Euro- for your children's birthday parties.
One time you told me not to put my face in the non-Newtonian fluids.
That's true.
Because I was drunk, and I did. And you know what? It was a bad idea. Don't stick your face in non-Newtonian substances, just as a tip. But anyway, the drinking game. So, one drink, anytime Nick Cage shouts, anytime he punches someone, or anytime he points with his entire arm. Two drinks, if he displays a facial tic of some sort, because he likes those. If he has implausible facial hair, if you suspect he was allowed to supply his own wardrobe in any of those scenes. And then this is where you drink everything that you have on your table. Anytime he catches on fire, which happens a lot. Like I just thought like, just what movies does he catch on fire? And I came up
with Ghost Rider, Spirits of Vengeance,
Wicker Man, and Kick-Ass. I'm like, those are just four movies right there that he catches on fire. And the 100+ movies he's done, I'm sitting there trying now to think, how many times does he catch on fire? Because you might not survive a Nick Cage drinking game if that's the case. But these are the rules. There are many more. Go check it out. It's a fun time. We should do that for all the Nick Cage movies. Start at whatever his first one was and work our way up.
Valley Girl.
Start at Valley Girl and end at whatever that movie is he's got coming out. Daddy Long Legs.
Close.
What is it?
Long Legs.
Is it Long Legs? I was right. See?
We should do a watch along when we do the drinking game.
I'm not saying no to this idea.
It's a pretty good idea. Pick a horror movie of his.
A Nicolas Cage horror movie. And
he catches on fire in Renfield too.
I forgot about that. Yep. Apparently it's a thing.
He catch on fire multiple times in Renfield, to be honest with you.
Oh, no.
Because I think he definitely does in the beginning, and I'm pretty sure he does at the end.
I think you're right. Let's hope we don't choose. We'll put all the movies in a hat and pick one. Let's hope it's not Renfield.
Oh, boy. I hope it's Peggy Sue Got Married.
Well, there's a lot there. I think he had all his own wardrobe for that movie.
I tell you, he probably did, and I know he had his own delivery of my wang.
That is classic.
Classic Cage.
Classic Cage. He should have been in Hell House.
He might have been one of the clowns.
He could have been. I'm jumping back, because at the end of part four now, the Carmichael Manor, the premise was the Carmichael Manor was just in like the town over, like near the town of Abaddon. And one of the kids...
The town wasn't Abaddon. The hotel was Abaddon.
No, I think the town was Abaddon,
too. It's like Rock something.
I think that was the county.
Oh, you're right.
But So the kid goes to work at the Abaddon Hotel, and he was supposed to be there in whatever happens there. That's like the big culty, whatever was happening at the Abaddon Hotel.
Right.
And then he's arrested for some reason and doesn't make it. So I guess he's still continuing on what the cult was doing because he wants to get through to the other side with everyone else because he's the one running around killing people at the end, right?
I don't remember.
That's what I couldn't figure out. And then to make it even weird, it seems to be one clown started it and then he found another clown friend and then they're like, let's go to Abaddon and make the Abaddon Hotel and make a gate. But then it shows in part four, it shows Margot, who they talk about her getting lost at a fair once.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, they show that picture of her again, but pan out and she's at a fair and there's the clown standing behind her at some, you know, the booth that they apparently would wander around doing evil clown things at.
And then they pan down and it says 1901.
Did it?
Like The Shining. No. That's what happens in The Shining.
No, it could have been in It too, because remember every like 26 years It comes back?
Is it 26?
Something like that. 16, 26, every so often a hot Skarsgård comes crawling out of a lake of fire and it says, time to party.
That's creepy Skarsgård.
No, it's hot because it's a lake of fire. So it's hot Skarsgård, see?
So creepy Skarsgård goes in and Alexander Skarsgård comes out?
That's how these things work. It's my understanding.
So you like the first one better. Pete, what if I told you there was a 130-minute long director's cut of the first one?
I would say I like the one I saw better.
No, I saw that and I was like, I just need to get Pete's opinion on watching a 2-hour and 10-minute version of Hell House LLC.
I cannot imagine there is anything of value in
the director. Maybe they tell us why he had to stay.
Well, you know what, though? That's what I like kind of about the first one, too. I don't need, and part four, I don't need a lot of explanation. Like, just make it weird. Make it.
You just spent the first 20 minutes of the podcast asking for explanations.
Well, I would like to have it. But maybe since I'm not going to get one, I'll just accept what it is. Because you don't need to know. They don't find any answers. I just don't like, when they switch in that first one. It's just so tonally different where I don't believe that there was a third party to begin with, or if there was, I don't remember them mentioning it. And I remember a lot of weird things about that movie.
Well, the only people that go into the hotel at the end are...
the reporter, I guess.
Her cameraman.
Yeah.
She's not the only one that works there. They would just go get the footage because she wasn't the only one interviewed at the beginning.
But did anyone else know they went there? Oh, yeah, because the one guy tried to call her.
Yeah.
Man,
so he would go get it. I don't know. Yeah, nope. Because he found that she was murdered.
Why clowned?
Because clowns are scary as shit, man.
Not usually.
Doesn't it work in this movie every time they're just staring at you?
This time
it worked. When they go up to that room where the phone rang in the basement, when they were in the kitchen in the fourth movie.
In part 4, yeah.
And they go up there and the clown's just standing there. Like, that's scary as shit.
Every time the clown was just standing somewhere, it worked. In the first one, when he goes all the way to the basement stairs and he thinks it's his friend, and then... like, there's just this clown with bleeding eyes.
And then
like,
it cuts back and he's staring at him because he turned his head. But that is the one part of the first movie that I really didn't like. Not that part. The part's great. But it's how quickly the guy just like goes from 0 to 60 as he's running around going, what the fuck? Oh. What the fuck? It was you. I know that was you. What the fuck are you doing here? What are you doing here? Oh my God, what are you doing here? And I was like, too much.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. It is. That's, I think, part of the problem I have with found footage. Most, because aside, Deadstream was not ad-libbed at all, right? That was just tight script is what you told me.
I'm not saying that the ad-libbing was bad. I'm saying that the performance was just, you ratcheted up way too much. You went immediate from, and this is the first time he really senses there's a problem in the hotel.
You haven't seen the 2-hour director's cut.
That's true.
I bet you there's a lot more ratcheting up.
The best part, the scariest part in the first one is when you can see the people in the background. Well, creepy Paul has given his testimonies to the camera and they never mention it. It never leads anywhere. There's just a person like wandering through the light in the background over and over.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was great.
And then she kept getting closer to the room like you'd see it. That was pretty cool. I kind of thought it was funny when he tries to hide under the covers. Like, yep, that's going to work. Just pull the blanket over your head, and that's what we're looking at as a viewpoint. And it was funny to me.
Now, the one thing, though, is that Paul has the worst character traits. He's also the only one with any character traits. Nobody else really has any defining quality. It's just that Paul wants to fuck.
The one guy wanted to make his haunted house.
Yeah.
I call him the leader.
Yeah.
Then there was Mac. I think that was his name, Mac. I liked his name. So
yes, except for Paul. I didn't catch any other names.
Mac was the big guy, I think, who was around for a while. There were only four.
He was the guy that was supposed to be the clown.
Was he?
Yeah, that's why he was that big, because that was supposed to be an actor they thought was in the clown suit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's why when he sees the clown there and he comes back and Mac's just standing there, he's like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And it's like too fast, too much too fast.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, but I usually, that's why I don't like the found footage stuff, because it's not,
In fact, I think it would be better to underplay it completely, to just be like, oh, what the fuck, man? How'd you get here so fast? And then be like, you know there's a problem and this idiot hasn't caught on yet.
Yeah.
The thing I like about found footage, like the first one does this well, is when they walk around. Like at the end, when the detective comes in and she's walking around and they, like, everything's left where it was. I enjoy that stuff because you showed me all the stuff that's happening. So I enjoy revisiting it.
Yeah.
In the aftermath.
What was funny, watching it the second time, when you see the YouTube footage at the beginning,
yeah,
there's stuff happening and you realize that those aren't actors because there were only, you know, where all the cast members are while, you know what I mean? Like afterwards.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So the second time you're like, oh, look at that. That's a monster of some sort. Or, oh, that's some sort of, you know, vengeance spirit.
That's right. Cause the movie starts off with someone else's footage from the night that they were there.
Right. Like the YouTube footage.
Yes. That's
like
right.
The opening group
waiting in line to go in and see the thing. And then everybody's trapped in the basement.
Right. Which you get to walk through the house and then you see him build it and then you realize, like, yeah, watching it again.
That's why I liked at the end when you're going through it in the aftermath and...
But you can see the knocked over kitchen.
And I also enjoy the cameraman's like me. He's like, well, what are we going down there? We're not going down there. He's like, let's go up then. He's like, I don't want to go up there either.
Right. There was a lot of that. They did a nice job of just saying, yeah, that basement's a scary place. No one likes to go
down
there.
They never went in the basement. I really enjoyed that. That's a common sense thing. He talked her out of going to the basement. Not that it helped, but...
The person who was playing the investigator who had done it before just has pictures of the landing in the basement. He's like, I didn't go down there. Yeah. What am I, insane?
I enjoy that.
Right. Which is why... I don't know. Did I like the... I think I might have... If I had to choose, I guess I would take the first one.
See, I just think the fourth one is much better made.
100% agree with you. That the first one seems like your standard found footage film, which is what I'm fine with the quality of film, but it seems like what can we do really cheaply for, you know.
See, I think it has a better backstory because it has a much more contained thing where you can ignore all the Abaddon stuff connections if you want to. It's just this haunted house thing about what happened to this family. Yeah. And it gives you the video of what happened to the family too, and I really enjoy how it intercuts that stuff.
Oh, really? I don't know. I don't think that worked for me.
So. Oh, I like that a lot. Because that's where you figure out who the girl in the mask you won't shut up about is.
Right.
And I think it has. I think it just has some better. Sorry.
You're the one who won't shut up about her. You kept telling me. And I'm like, those were clowns, you fool. What movie are you talking about?
I think it just has. It's far better paced than the original.
Yeah. They're both pretty short, aren't they?
They are. But I think this one's very well paced. And it's just a very simple day-night cycle of it's going to be 5 days. And by the middle of the time, and like you're in day three, and that's when you get the Zoom call thing. And then night four is when the brothers seeing shit in the hallway. And it's like, it just keeps ramping up slowly. And it gets I think it builds a really much more suspenseful movie than the original is.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Something about I don't know. Maybe I just like being a part of the behind the scenes of a haunted house.
Sure. So no, that is interesting.
That grabbed me.
Same guy wrote and directed all these. And I just think that part of what I like about the fourth one the best is that he clearly grew as a filmmaker.
Oh, okay.
But then I heard that two and three are the worst ones. So
did he, was this a planned thing or did the first one do well? And he's like, I got to churn out some more kind
of. The first one was probably a surprise hit because everybody heard of it. So it means it had to make some money somewhere. Cause
I think I've heard of it before you said.
I did too. I just thought it was a different movie.
Yeah. I just don't care for found footage movies as a general rule. These are not, although what was the one you were telling me about where it was something with sound? A found footage.
It's the cosmic horror movie, The Outwaters.
The Outwaters.
Which you guess has to do with a lake, and it actually takes place in the desert.
Yeah, right. It's not a lake. So it is a lake of fire. Also, deserts are hot, fire's hot. Is this part 5, Hell House, LLC, pre-origins, hot water?
It's pre-visualization.
Pre-viz.
That was last podcast. This fire's hot. That's what I wanted to say.
Yes.
This fire's hot.
I'm making my own warm spots.
Shout out to
Steve Osif from 20, 30 years ago.
Who said some things.
My younger brother's friend, who I haven't seen since that day. I can tell you the credit for our credit check, there's not a lot happening in these two movies.
No, the people that are holding the cameras are holding the cameras.
Yep. Very, very small. What I did find fascinating is on the better made, very clearly better made Hell House LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor, they had a catering and food list at the end of it. So here's what they had, and you tell me where you think you would order from.
This is the credit check?
This is the credit check. There were no best boys of any sort or any stripe.
They couldn't have.
No. So we have the B&B restaurant. We have Chop Tops Burgers and Malts. We have the Greek American Grill. Pat's Pizza and Hoagies, and Tara Kuza, who apparently was a caterer.
You know I don't like burgers.
I know, but Chop Top.
I know, but you know I don't like burgers. I knew you were going to go with this, but you know I don't like burgers. So I will take the Greek American restaurant.
Really? Yeah. All right. I couldn't get past Chop Top or Pat's Pizza, because I like pizza and I like burgers.
Not a big pizza fan.
I know you're not.
Don't like burgers. But I do like a souvlaki.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Greek American Grill is your choice. I wonder what their favorites were. Where did Margo like to eat?
Where did Margo like to eat? I don't know. That location was beautiful, though.
The Carmichael Manor?
Yeah. I think it was a better location than the... They got a lot out of the hotel because they only used certain spaces of it during
the... In the first movie?
Yeah. Building it up. They didn't obviously weren't going to go through all the rooms in the third floor and build a haunted house.
Right. There were only...
They really only used certain parts. But they got a lot out of it.
Yeah, they did. The creepy woods in part four when they were trying to walk their way out, that was fun. I mean...
I liked it a lot. And I liked the space that they had in four because there's less people and more room. And I enjoyed it. It was creepier to me. And listen, I'm not going to keep going on about this girl in the mask. But when
you were so scared.
When he looks down the hallway in his camera and that little face comes around the corner, it's like, that was fucking terrifying.
It was pretty cool.
That shit just works every time.
When you were watching the old footage that you like so much,
No, I just like that there's a more grounded thing going on in this one than there was in the original.
Right, you love the old footage.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, that's right. I love old footage and girls with masks.
Right.
Yeah.
When she comes out after the kid was making the clowns, I guess, or the clowns were there, he was storing them. I'm still unclear on the provenance of the clowns.
I bet we could study all four movies and we would never understand where these clowns came from or what the purpose is.
As far as I'm concerned, part one and part four are the story.
I am too. I'll watch a part five if it comes out because I really enjoyed the way he made part four. It legitimately, again, I never get scared watching movies anymore. And I paused this one because I was like, am I afraid of what's happening in this movie? And like, it was one of those moments where I was like, cool. I am. And I was watching this like alone in the middle of the day in the daylight. And I was like, I'm actually kind of afraid, like not afraid, but I'm like, man, I'm kind of nervous about what's happening. And I never get that. And I thought, man, if I wish I could have seen this in the theater, because I don't think it came out in the theater, but I wish I could have seen it in the theater or would have known to watch it in like a dark room alone or something, because it really kind of worked. And these things never work for me. You know, you'll get a jump scare or whatever.
Yeah, but those are cheap.
But this was like, the first one never had that suspense for me. There was cool stuff with the clowns and stuff.
Yeah.
But the suspense worked so well for me in the middle of that third, or the middle of the Carmichael Manor. Yeah. That I wish I'd have seen it in a better circumstance.
Yeah. Because a lot of times movies are affected by where you are, or when you are, or what mood you're in when you're watching them.
Yeah. And I wish I would have known, but I looked after I watched it and wrote the review, which I gave a great review because I legitimately thought it was very scary.
Yeah. So why'd you tell me to go watch the first one?
Yeah. Right. I went and looked on all the kind of reviews, it got really good reviews. The Carmichael Manor, it's the best review to the series. And everybody kind of agreed, like, this was like surprisingly scary. And I'm like, it was scary. I'm not crazy. It was scary. I'm so desensitized. It's hard, but like suspense works if suspense works.
And I didn't hate it. Yeah. A lot of times I just don't watch the found footages. Well,
you have the hardest time connecting to the scary stuff because you're watching it in Quibi like 15-minute intervals.
It is. For these movies, I really do try to do it in big chunks where I can
watch. And this is one Kitty probably wouldn't watch with
you. No, none of these movies Kitty has any interest in watching. So
yeah, well, it's good because the first one had a lot of flashing lights, which I didn't realize because I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
And the fourth one doesn't. So the fourth one you probably could have got away with. But I think she'd been scared by it because I was scared by it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a tough line to draw with Kitty because she's enjoying watching horror movies as someone who never watched them before, but she likes watching them because it's new to her. But if you go too scary, she's never going to watch them again.
I was gonna say, what do you think she would do with When Evil Lurks?
I don't think she'd ever watch it.
Yeah.
I think it's too much. Oh, that is fascinating because that movie fucked me up.
Because there's different levels of horror movies. There's populist horror movies, which you know I love, and then there's like true horror movies that someone's making for not a profit, not for the benefit of anything else, nothing but the artistic nature of wanting to make it a horror movie.
And it's weird what horror they hit. Like I couldn't quantify what about When Evil Lurks hit me so hard. Like it was just,
it's very unique and it sustains it throughout the entire intensity
of that movie just never lets up.
It's pretty amazing.
For a Weekend at Bernie's scenario, Weekend at Bernie's 3 is way weird. It's intense.
There's got to be a comedy cut of that movie of just two doofuses losing a dead body.
Wait, that wasn't the comedy cut?
Yeah. Eating children's brains. Oh, God. The dog attack.
Oh, God. These were all terrible. Terrible. And you see them coming. You know what I mean? Like, I think we talked about it briefly. Yeah. Like, you see the dog attack coming, but God damn. Somehow it's worse.
It's, yeah.
So, yeah, that is definitely a type of horror.
It's definitely funny with these movies that I really enjoyed 4. I enjoyed 1 a lot. And I have no interest in watching 2 and 3.
I have absolutely zero interest in 2 and 3.
But it's mind-blowing. Like, I don't want to know more about the lore. I don't care what happens in the hotel. I don't care what happened to anybody. Nope. I'll never put it on. And it's like, I enjoyed the movies. That makes no sense. I think part of it is knowing that those aren't well-regarded.
I had no knowledge of how part 2 and 3 were. I didn't even know that part 4 and 1 were different movies.
Yeah.
But
that's true. That is where this began.
I still have, like you, zero interest in watching 2 and 3. I feel that there is nothing that needs to be added, which is why I don't need to see the director's cut. I don't need more.
I feel like it'll take away from what I enjoyed if I knew more.
It's a fine little movie that does its thing, and it's enjoyable. It's got some good scares. It's got some good clowns. Like, clowns, to me, have, I don't know, they're not killer clowns, so I don't need to see it. Pennywise never did it for me. The killer clowns are awesome, and that's all you need. I
like these clowns.
I haven't seen Terrifier, though. How's Art the
Clown? Well, we're going to get to those later this year.
Oh, yeah?
Because Terrifier 3 is coming out in October, so this October we will have Terrifier Week, and you will watch Terrifier 1 and 2 finally.
We should do a Clown Week.
Well,
we just pick Terrifier clown. Week. I'm going to watch other clown movies. That's going to what I'm going to do. I'm not going to watch Terrifier.
What other ones are there besides it? Shakes the Clown?
Oh, I love that movie, too.
You love that movie.
I loved it when I saw it when I was like 14 or 13.
I wonder
if it holds up.
Well, no, I know it doesn't hold up.
It's Bobcat Goldthwait. What do you mean it doesn't hold up?
I know. Isn't Bill Murray in it, too?
Probably.
Yeah.
And they hate mimes. They hate them so much.
You know, that does sound pretty good now that I think about remembering watching it on HBO way back in the day.
That's exactly when I watched it.
Does he do the Bobcat Goldthwait voice? Mimes!
I don't know if he does in that one. I feel like he had to do that voice all the time back then. He wasn't allowed to just act. It was like, come out here and do the Pee Wee Herman voice for us.
He became a director.
Did he?
I think he might have even directed that first Becky movie we've talked about a couple times.
Really? I want to see that movie.
Maybe he didn't.
Because
he directed something.
The Wrath. I know he's directed something, but The Wrath of Becky is the one you saw.
Yeah, I liked that.
And you said I should go see it.
I didn't say that. You infer things.
No, I refer things to somebody else.
Unless it's for the podcast, I don't ask you to watch anything anymore.
That's not true. You told me to watch what I eat because I'm getting dangerously unhealthy.
No, he directed Willow Creek. I'm thinking of something else.
Willow Creek. I don't know that one.
He directed Shakes the Clown.
Did he now? Yeah. Good for him.
I guess so.
No, it is. I give him credit. I like it.
It does not look like... Oh, cameos by Robin Williams, not...
Yeah, him and yeah. Oh yeah, Robin Williams and Bobcat were good friends.
Yes,
I knew that.
Adam Sandler has an appearance in that too. This is Florence Henderson to bring it back to the Brady Bunch, which was last episode.
Was she the one who was dating Sam the Butcher?
No, Alice is dating Sam the Butcher.
That's not Florence Henderson.
Florence Henderson is Mrs. Brady, Carol Brady.
Who was dating Sam the Butcher?
Alice,
the camel. The camel. 10 humps?
Alice the housekeeper.
You've never... No, it's Alice the camel, and she had 10 humps, and you got to sing it down to zero. And then Alice was a horse. That's how that song ends.
I don't remember who played her, but I should because I saw that opening.
Florence Pug. It's an all-Florence cast.
All-Florence cast.
And it's filmed in Italy.
That father died of AIDS.
And there we are, back again.
Well, what do you want me to say? Florence Henderson's also dead.
My week
so is Alice.
My week...
I'm sure Sam the Butcher is too.
Now, I needed my dose of death. Thank you.
I think all the kids are still alive, though.
My kids? Thank God.
Well, that I can't prove.
I thought you had an app or something, and you do have the gift. Oh, no. Let's stop talking. I know what the power of this podcast is.
That only hurts good people.
Oh, yeah, right. My kids are shit.
Yes.
I've met both of them more than once.
Last time I was here, I ran into your daughter for the first time in a while, who I've been trying to actively avoid because she's so mean to me. She's turned into a mean girl.
You're her godparent.
Well, she immediately walked over and was like, why does he have to be here? I was like, what?
She is angry when you show up for some reason.
And I'm like, I know she thinks it's funny, but it hurts my feelings.
That's what's funny about it.
So I don't come around anymore.
Oh. Yeah. She's like Tom Petty. That's what she's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
And it's working, apparently.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I don't want to, you know, I ran into Sam the time before that, and he was nice to me. I was like, oh, how the turntables.
Sam, who wants Godzilla to be his father, which is understandable.
Sam, who would just come over and punch people in the balls because they're not paying attention, and that's on them. But now he's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, okay.
Did I ever tell you when I had to go to the doctor because Sam was punching my ball so many times that he did real damage? and I had to go see a real doctor who sonogrammed my testicles. It was something. It was something.
He's not as violent as he used to be. Those drugs are working.
Yeah, I know. If you keep somebody all drugged up, didn't they do that to Kong on the boat?
Yes.
Did they do that to anyone in the Hell? No, there were no drugs in the Hell House LLC ones.
Not the two I watched.
No. And that's all of them. That's all I need to see. It was all, I guess that was fun too. There was no, was there, oh, the brother in part four has the mental instability, so you get the unreliable. Yeah. Was there anyone in part one though?
No, just Paul's sexual predatorness. Yeah. But I do think that they did it's a smart thing. The turning a haunted house into a real haunted house is a good concept.
Yeah, it is.
And I haven't seen it really done, which is surprising when you think about it. So that's a strong concept to build the original off of. They just built so much lore that was unnecessary.
Yeah, I think I kind of liked it, even though I was desperate, because I am left searching for answers, trying to put it together in my head. Yeah. And the best I can get is there's a cult. Now there's things in robes that are, I guess, cult members.
There's a cult trying to open
a gate to hell. Yeah. And Abaddon is something, either a demon or a, because they chose the place based on the name.
Yeah.
And it seems like people get trapped there and they have sacrifices, and because there was a mother and a daughter that went missing. And wasn't that a dream that took in part four? Wasn't there a daughter that, like a lost little girl who was trying to bring her back? Margo had the dream about it. She mentions it at some point. And I wondered if that was the people who went missing at the Abaddon Hotel.
Maybe, because they tie it all into the Abaddon Hotel where they find all this information about it.
That was directly, yeah.
But I had never seen one, so all that stuff, first time I watched it, is just gone to me.
Right, well, that's interesting to me, because I had seen part one before I saw part four. So all of that kind of made sense at the time, but watching it with no prior knowledge. Let's
put it this way. I watched the fourth one, and I had never seen the first one or the second one or the third one. I did know the second one was called the Abaddon Hotel. So when I saw them talk about it in the fourth, I said, oh, that must be referring to the second one. Then I watched the first one because of our little crossing the stream.
Your confusion.
And then it's about the Abaddon Hotel. And now I'm even more confused.
Well, maybe the Abaddon Hotel is the main character in part two.
Although I was excited to see the clown show up in the first one, because after I'd seen the fourth one, because I was like, oh, my old friends are here to scare the shit out of me again. How kind of them.
They did a good job too, I will say. The clowns were creepy in part four. It wasn't an overuse. No. It wasn't. They didn't turn them into a wisecracking, any kind of thing. And it's not overused to the point where I'm bored when it shows up. Like somehow the same clowns from part one are equally terrifying in part four.
Yeah. And I know they have other adventures probably in two and three. But I believe two takes place years after one.
Okay.
So they're just looking into the same thing a second time, which is another reason why they're interested in it. The fourth one takes a new location, takes a new backstory, and gives some new things. It opens the series up to more stuff. And again, it got real kind of like, I don't want to say critical acclaim, but for the fourth entry in a found footage franchise, it got pretty great notices.
I feel like that's the one I heard about. I don't, much like you, I think I was remembering it as something else, or I just categorized it as,
it's pretty sure there's something called The Houses of October, and that's what I thought it was. It was about... Which, like, it's funny. I just said, it's a pretty cool concept, you know, how they build these haunted houses. I won't watch the actual documentary about it, but I'll watch the fake one that the portal to hell opens.
Well, if there's no portals to hell opening, what do I care?
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Why are we filming this? No one gives a shit.
But it was a good concept. And I'm glad that it worked out for them to the point of two movies I'll never see and one I did like a lot.
Well, I'm intrigued going forward now. I will never watch part two and three. I feel I don't need it to know the story. You don't need to know the story to watch part four, but I appreciate the clowns, the continuation of the clowns.
Do you think that those are just like, I wonder if this is why the second and third one aren't as well regarded, because in the fourth one, they didn't use the clowns as much.
Right.
And they built up to it when they started doing stuff. I wonder if the second and third one, they were like, I don't know what to do here. Just put a clown there.
A car pulls up and the clown gets out, and then like 10 more get out behind him. Is it a small car? Of course it is. Oh. The smallest car. And more than the two clowns we see. There's three, right?
There's three.
Yeah. That's right. What are the... all right. There's three clowns. At least that's where we start. I'm still trying to figure out. And the kid from the Carmichael Manor, he seemed to be making more... his sister who died, he made that little mask costume for her, and then somehow she was resurrected, I assume, through his magics.
Sure.
Okay, I don't know. I thought maybe you saw something I didn't.
The thing about these movies is I don't know and I don't care.
Yeah,
it's just that they do some effective stuff with it. Do you? Because there's two other movies you can watch and maybe learn some things.
I enjoy wanting to know.
Oh,
I don't ever like knowing anything. That's no fun.
I enjoyed because the two movies had good concepts, and I think that in different ways, they got a lot out of them. I just personally enjoy the slower, better paced version than the madhouse that was the original.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I think the first one felt more like a found footage movie to me than the second or the,
yes.
the
second one. No, I agree. So the Carmichael Manor has moments where I know it's found footage, but it doesn't feel like it because it's taking its time mm-hmm. and it's setting the atmosphere with it.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, I'll agree. There were some moments where it was kind of jarring where it's like, oh, look at them setting up the camera for mm-hmm. whatever. It's like, oh, we need a static shot now for a while. So that's yes. why they're doing it. Like it kind of bled in, I guess, too. And I don't notice these things when I watch movies, but even I noticed it. So that's
there's a movie I liked from a couple years ago called When the Screaming Starts.
No, that was not what I thought you liked from a couple of years ago.
That is technically supposed to be a found footage movie, but it just breaks every rule of it and it's better for it.
Like it pans out there in the studio.
No, I'm looking at people from the camera point of view on one side of the room. And then it cuts to show the other side of the room, and there's no cameraman there shooting. Because that's where the camera would have to be for this to work. Oh. And it's like, we're not putting the cameraman in the shot. We just don't care. Take him out of there. So imagine two cameras facing each other, and neither of them are there, even though it's being done like found footage. Yeah. And I was like, I applaud it, because I don't care.
What was the name of it?
When the Screaming Starts. It's a comedy.
Oh, it's a comedy.
It's okay. About a guy who wants to be a serial killer, so he starts a serial killer family to go murder people. And he's like taking out ads to find people.
Oh, really?
And one guy that doesn't speak English just walks into the wrong place and becomes part of this family. It's pretty great.
When the Screaming Starts.
I really enjoyed it. And I also really enjoyed how they didn't care to clutter it with the found footage tropes, even though they were using found footage. Not found footage. It's like a mockumentary.
Oh, okay.
But where's the cameraman? It doesn't make any sense. That reverse shot, the camera has to be there. And it's not. And I was like, you know what? Good for them. I would rather it be this way.
Yeah. What was it? When all of the shows were like TV shows.
This is the title of the movie.
What's that?
Mine was When the Screaming Starts, and yours was When all of the titles of the show.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. But they started doing like a documentary style from the Office TV show where they interview the cast members. Mm-hmm. I think it was Modern Family where they were interviewing people, but at no point had they established any kind of this is a documentary type scenario. So you're watching a sitcom and then all of a sudden people are talking to the camera. Yep. And that was all the movie or all TV shows for a very long time, I feel like.
Yep. The British Office started it, the American Office popularized it, and then just we had Parks and Rec doing it and nobody's filming anything for Parks and Rec.
Right. It was just, I believe Parks and Rec started off that way in the first six episodes as the season and then a writer's strike happened and then they just retooled the whole thing.
The show got way better after those first six. The thing that made the show work so well, it didn't work for me in the beginning because I was like, this is just like The Office, just they're not, you know, they're just in a different office.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed when they really keyed in on, she can't be like Michael Scott. She can't just be dumb. Or anything like that. I just thought she's really enthusiastic about local government. That's funny enough. You don't need any more than that. And that worked for like seven seasons.
It did. And then you have
you just surround her with bureaucrats and people who hate the government. It's like, this is perfect.
Yep. And then you have to deal with local townspeople.
Yep.
And
yep.
Everyone is insane. We know that.
It just feels like that wasn't, not even the first six. I feel like it did find its way partway through those first six episodes.
Right.
But remember like that started and Andy's supposed to be like a dick and you're like, who's going to hate Chris Pratt? He's not even Chris Pratt yet, but immediately you're like, no, this guy's way too likable to be a dick. And he's a dick for the first six episodes. And then it's like, no, he can't be.
Nope. And it works better.
It doesn't work. Like you're supposed to be on Anne's side. And I'm like, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, but that like it's that documentary style again.
But I don't know for what, you know, at least The Office have a reason. There was a documentary being made.
Yeah,
about the American workplace. It makes sense. And that documentary actually gets shown in the show at some point. It becomes a plot point.
I made it through that show once.
Yeah.
I fell asleep a lot, but I think I've seen most of every episode.
It holds up pretty good until you get to Robert California, and then you just know to turn it off and go away.
Is that James Spader?
Yes. It's not his fault. It's just that, oh my God, there's nothing interesting for him to do here.
I gave up after like season three, I think, of that show. I stopped watching it back when it was on TV, and that's back when people watch TV.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me more about these times.
I saw part. It was a finale, and they were all singing and dancing, and I turned off my TV, or I just turned the channel. That was how it worked. Wow. Then they stopped, and that
channel.
Was
channel.
Channel. Hey, 13 Ghosts. That was a haunted house, right? But it was an inherited haunted house, and they had to fight the ghosts.
With Tony Shalhoub and Matthew Lillard?
I like Matthew Lillard. It's Monk and Shaggy.
It is Monk and Shaggy.
And who was the girl? She was somebody.
Was it Shannon Elizabeth?
Yes. I like Shannon Elizabeth.
I haven't seen that movie since it came out in 99. I'm pretty impressed I got all three of those, if I did.
I think that was another one I saw in the theater with you. I don't remember hating it. It was all right.
I remember not liking it.
Really?
It came out around the same time as the House on Haunted Hill remake, which I did like, even though I know it's not good. I know it's not good, Pete.
Really?
I like it.
Is that the one with Liam Neeson?
No. No, that movie's terrible. That's The Haunting. That movie's fucking awful.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of that one.
The movie has a great cast, and it's terrible. It has Owen Wilson. It has Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
It has, what was her name from The Conjuring, the wife that's really good in it?
The Conjuring.
The one who gets possessed at the end. Lily something?
Maybe? Vera Farmiga.
Well, she is in it.
No, doesn't she get possessed? I thought she did.
I don't think so.
She was in Godzilla, too.
She was in Godzilla 2. That's technically accurate.
I know.
She was in Godzilla 2.
Godzilla number 2. That's the one she was in.
How big are Godzilla's number 2s?
You were talking on the Godzilla episode about never seeing a Godzilla dong. I've never seen any of their poop.
You've never seen any Godzilla dung either.
Never seen any. No dung, no dongs. That is the Godzilla promise, at least from the legendary verse.
No dong, no dung, no sleep. We're going to protest until we get Godzilla dung and Godzilla dong.
All right. I'm in. I mean, for that one.
You know Kong's got to be laying juicy ones all over the containment area because he's upset.
What about the dong of Kong? Have you even thought about that?
Yeah.
The Kong dong?
We brought it up.
But have you thought about it? Oh, yeah, you do. You look for it every time. Yeah, that is your thing.
I've ever been satisfied.
That's how you watch
movies. I watched the Watchmen and that one time in the brief moment in Wild Things when Kevin Bacon turned around in the shower.
I never saw Wild Things.
No.
Hey.
I've seen Kevin Bacon's Wild Thing.
Did it make your heart sing?
It made everything groovy.
All right. I don't know what else I have to say about found footage LLCs.
I'm not interested in the second and third one at all, even though I enjoyed the first and the fourth one. And I really think they got a lot of mileage out of what are just a couple of good ideas. A simple haunted house movie in one, a kind of over-the-top haunted house movie in the first one. But the idea of building and operating the haunted house was a good cover for it.
I think that was...
Characters are not the most interesting things in these movies, but
no.
But they don't detract from it either.
A lot of times the characters do. I'm going back to Blair Witch. I hated that the main character.
You're supposed to.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
Okay, so you're glad you're on the Blair Witch's side?
Well, no, you're supposed to be on the other guy's side, but you're supposed to be frustrated as they're frustrated. And the best way to do that is to make someone that you can just fucking hate.
Okay.
And you're supposed to feel... as angry and frustrated as they are.
You know what's funny? I'll accept that these people are stuck in a mansion in the woods. I'll accept that they're stuck in a hotel somehow and can't get out. But I will not accept that they're lost in the woods and can't follow a river out.
The woods are magic. They did try to follow the river out, and they ended up in the same place.
Rivers don't go in circles.
No, the...
lazy rivers do. The good rivers go in circles.
They do when you have crossed into another dimension.
It's not another dimension. What? It's another dimension another now dimension. In the Blair Witch?
It's not another dimension, but they're caught in a magical realm that they can't get out of. They walk one direction and end up by the same fucking tree stump three times. They are trapped.
Well, that's because the one guy threw away the map.
A later video game that they made, he kicked into the fucking river. It's great. A later video game they made kind of answers this, where they crossed a certain threshold, they couldn't get out. They were trapped in the witch's game, and there was no way out.
That just sounds like a poor game design.
But it's not that they couldn't follow the river. It's that the river didn't
work. Quiet, you fool. I have news. Barbara Crampton is in a video game.
Yes. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, is that the one? I knew it was a video. Oh, look at you with all this information. I don't know why I thought you wouldn't know Barbara Crampton news. I should be getting Barbara Crampton updates from you every episode, not Nick Cage news.
I can do it.
We do need more people on because I have so many the Cage Quiz hot shots just sitting there, but there's no point when it's just you.
It's still just a question I'm guessing the answer at. What do the points add up to?
I don't know. There's going to be, I think that might be... something. There might be a prize of some sort. I think I'm going to start playing. I only halfway know the answer.
You probably don't know the answer.
Right, so I might win. It'll be a good time. But yeah, that was my Barbara Crampton news. I've been thinking about that one for a while. I think I got announced a while ago.
Ooh.
But I've been remembering it because I know Barbara Crampton.
I know her too.
I just saw her in Suitable Flesh.
I saw her in the hallway.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet, Ewan McGregor.
In fact, that was supposed to be coming up soon, and that was probably not coming out till the end of the year.
We're going to push 30 years before we watch that movie.
We're not that far away from it.
We're going to see her in what was the name of the movie? Night Watch?
Night Watch.
Night Watch, the movie we've seen trailers for, but have never watched.
More like Never Watch. The history of that is that 28 years ago, we saw the trailer for Night Watch, and it looked pretty funny in a bad way. And we've had a line stuck in our head, I saw her in the hallway for years, and I've owned it for years, and we've just never watched it. Nope. And one day we will for this podcast.
Well, that's what we keep saying.
But it has not happened yet, and we are over a year into the podcast, and that was one of the first ideas we had. So for some reason, we're caught in the witch's magical trap of not being able to watch Night Watch.
I'm going to go ahead and say that was the only idea we had, so it's shocking that we haven't finished it yet.
I think it was like that. He's like, what do you want to do for episode one? I said, oh, watch Night Watch.
I think that was the whole podcast. Let's watch Night Watch. And then we were done. Quit. Yeah. We're out.
Ewan McGregor.
Yep.
Thanos.
Josh Brolin's
in it? Patricia Arquette.
Yeah. And Arquette?
And...
Was she in Stigmata?
Yes.
Wait, isn't there a new Omen movie coming out, too? I was just thinking of religious
horror. We're not going to cover the Omen because I don't own the Omen, and I don't feel like going to buy the Omen, and it's not streaming anywhere.
I haven't seen the original Omen. What is it? It is the Omen.
I've never seen the original Omen.
I did years and years and years ago. I think I've seen all of the classics. I just haven't seen them recently.
Never seen it, and I would have done it, but I don't feel like buying it.
Does The Omen have a big fan base? Is there a?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I did buy Night of the Comet, though. So we're not on Vudu. It doesn't exist on Vudu. Oh. But we are going to do Night of the Comet later this year.
And I haven't seen 4K. That movie since college.
I bought it on Blu-ray so we can watch it.
Awesome.
Because I love that movie.
It is a good one.
And I think it's turning 40 this year.
Really?
I think it is an 84. So what a
good time to watch it.
That's why. It's like how probably next week, if I'm right.
Man, you always are.
We'll be continuing our journey haphazardly through the Friday the 13th franchise because it is the 40th anniversary of Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
But it wasn't the final chapter because I just saw his new nightmare.
Correct.
Wait, but, no, well, that's Friday the 13th.
That's correct. But
is this a Jason movie or a Freddy movie?
But it is interesting you bring that up, because the reason it's called the final chapter, it kind of makes sense when you realize it came out 8 months, 6 months before Nightmare on Elm Street, when I told you and Nightmare on Elm Street kind of relaunched slasher movies. The reason it's called the final chapter is that slasher movies were in a sharp decline in 1984, so they wanted to label the final chapter so everybody would know, so they'd come to the theater and be like, we're not going to keep going, this is the end, please come. And then 6 months later, Nightmare on Elm Street comes out and it reinvigorates the franchise. Like, better get him into production.
Chapter the second.
And then you end up with the Roy the Paramedic movie.
Roy the Paramedic. I like him. There are certain people in horror that I really like.
That's one of them.
Roy the Paramedic. He's one of them guys.
It's Roy the Paramedic, Rodan, the bitch, and...
Rodan and Roy the Paramedic are my two favorites.
Rodan, Roy the Paramedic, and the Husky Clown from the Hell House movies.
The Husky Clown? The fat one? Is that what you're saying?
Fuck, Mary, Kill, Rodan, the Husky Clown.
Oh, boy.
And Roy the Paramedic.
Oh, boy. Fuck, Mary, now, Kill.
Only one of these people, as I can discern, has a job.
But he was terrible at it.
I don't know how good he was vis-a-vis his paramedic work.
Oh, man.
But I know he's collecting a paycheck. He's the only one.
I'm going to kill the clown because, you know what? Fuck clowns. Yeah. Fuck them? No. Well, fuck and kill, I guess. No. But fuck them non-pleasurably.
Well, I'm fucking all of them, but one of them's going to get married and one of them's going to get murdered.
I'm going to marry Rodan. You can't.
You got to marry Rodan.
You got to. He's the obvious choice.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
You got to marry Rodan. You got to kill the clown. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, see? I don't think there's a better order.
Roy the Paramedic has those steely blue eyes, so I can get through one night, I guess.
He's very intense. He's a very intense person. Rodan, he's got his own problems. He's not going to bring you much, but...
Well, you know how Rodan will go. Like, you get mad at him, and he'll just be like, oh, I'm sorry, and he'll bow down, and then you're all set.
He'll turn on you the second he gets a chance.
That's right. All right, final thoughts on Hell House LLC or Hell House LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor?
They're pretty good for found footage
movies.
They're
pretty good, I think.
I liked them. I'd see the next one. I am intrigued enough that I will see part 5. But I will
never watch part 2 and 3.
That is the Pete promise. Yeah. Amongst all of my promises, this is the one I will keep. More so than I'll take care of my children or I love my wife, I will never watch part 2 or part 3.
I mean, you never technically made those promises.
No, I feel like they're implied.
Are they?
That's what my mom keeps telling me when I talk about the shit children I have.
Oh, she's like, you have to love them?
Mm-hmm. And she says it real sad, like when she's looking at me.
I feel like you just have to keep them alive until they're 18. And hey, more than halfway there on one.
You know what? that explains why she did change the locks on me when I turned 18. I came home one day and couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And then I forgot where I lived when I wandered away. Never made it home again.
All right, that's the end of
LLC.
I liked them. They're good. Yeah. Good work.
And you're scared of the girls in masks.
It's girls in masks. And
raptors.
Raptors.
I remember that. You got scared by a raptor once.
Yeah.
And I think Anne Heche scared you one time as well.
So I said also lesbians.
And also lesbians.
Anne Heche passed away.
Oh. And on that note.
She crashed her car and then burned up in the lake of fire.
She's going to come out as a hot Skarsgård.
She did make me jump, though, when she, in that movie.
I know what you did last
summer. I know what you did last summer when she pounds on the window. And it was the same year as the Jurassic Park sequel where a raptor, they check under the barn. They check under
in the little hole that was dug out under the
and
door.
And then she's like, it's all safe. And then she goes under there and then
the claw comes down.
No, that face.
Oh, that was the raptor face.
So I was like, those are the two times I jumped. So
I feel famously, that happened like within a week of each other.
They did. Yeah. Famously afraid of lesbians. And raptors. Two things that do not exist. All right, we'll see you next week.